Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. I'm glad to have you join us today. If you're not a regular of the show, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association is who we are, CCTA. We're a conservative, nonprofit, nonpartisan group, and typically our shows are political, and we talk a lot about current events going on around the state, around the country, here locally. We have a watchdog group that's chaired by Hal James.
Hey there.
He's also the chairman of CCTA this year. And we have a legislative action committee chaired by Rainer James.
Hey, Rick.
So we touch on those subjects, what's going on with our local legislators, Hal attends the commissioners' meetings and other elected officials' group meetings that they have. So he can give watchdog reports on that. We also have Bob and Mary Griswold with us.
Hello.
And we have Diane Ruffino. Diane Ruffino is a constitutional scholar, right?
Some say.
Some say. Well, she's got a
crazy allegation.
She's got a degree in just about everything. She studied under Judge Napolitano, so we're really happy to have her with us. She adds a lot to the show.
I think if the law degree and two master's degree doesn't qualify for educated, I don't know what does.
Yeah, but it, like you've often mentioned, it's even with all that education, she's still got common sense.
Absolutely. It's really amazing.
Miracles don't cease.
That's because I'm conservative.
Yeah.
All right. And tonight, it's night where we're at right now because we record on Wednesday nights for the show to play on Sundays. We're going to do something a little bit different. We've got a special guest, and it's non-political. His name is Ken Kirkman, and Ken was the developer, or is the developer, of Carolina Colors, retirement community here outside of New Bern. And we've got some interesting questions for him, I think, that have to do with government regulations and some of the loops he had to jump through, hoops he had to jump through to develop this community, and we're looking forward to talking with him. So we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back, and we'll be talking with Ken Kirkman.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, as mentioned before the break, we have a special guest, Mr. Ken Kirkman, developer of Carolina Colors. Bob, you and Mary invited...
Well, we moved down here from Massachusetts almost 5 years ago, and we're fortunate enough to live in Carolina Colors. When we moved down here, we bought one of the houses in one of the neighborhoods there, and then the opportunity came along to buy another lot and to develop that, build another house in there. And we, by the way, we sold the original house, and we're very good friends with the folks that bought the house from us. And we have thoroughly enjoyed being in the community, thoroughly enjoyed the amenities that come with the community, the attitude that comes with the community also. And we've invited Ken here, and I think, Ken, somehow you're partially responsible for the positive attitude that we see.
And I'm here tonight because I'd had two bourbons when you asked me.
Bob, I wanted to add that Rain and I fairly enjoy living close to Carolina Colors. We're across the highway from them. And we drive through there, not only to visit you and Mary, but we go through there quite often. It's just a beautiful community. It really is.
It is. Ken, how long has this project been going on for you? When did you start this?
Believe it or not, a Weyerhaeuser who owned the land approached me about 15 years ago and said that they were getting out of the real estate development business in North Carolina. I had done their legal work and their real estate developments before then, and it kind of helped, you know, them learn about my conception of planned developments. And they asked me if I would be interested in acquiring it. And in a weak moment, I put together some things that needed to be done and agreed to do it. We started actual construction in 2005, late 2004, and started selling home sites really in late 2005.
So it was Weyerhaeuser property. That was another question I had. Was it part of the Croatan Forest?
No, this was Weyerhaeuser timberland.
But it is bordered by Croatan.
It is.
Yes. And Bryce's Creek, I believe.
Bryce Creek intersects it. It meanders through our community.
Wow. It's a beautiful place, Raina.
I was wondering what stage it was when you picked it up. Was it raw land? Did they have a plat of subdivision approved? Was any infrastructure started?
No infrastructure had been built. There was a preliminary master plan that Weyerhaeuser had created that we took and then refined and went through the approval process. Weyerhaeuser had done some preliminary work with the state and with DOT about the entranceway and some things like that, but there had been nothing touched on site.
What was the approval process like? Was that tough or easy?
Not an easy question to answer. It can seem tough, but New Bern is, for the most part, development friendly. And the kind of community we were going to develop, which is a large community with a lot of retirees, and we're not really a retirement community. You say we're only about 60% retirement.
Okay.
With a lot of mix of local working people, military, and others here, a few second homers. So we're pretty diverse. We are very, New Bern is far easier than many other places to develop. And I've, for instance, I've been involved with a number of projects in Wilmington. Wilmington is far more difficult than New Bern is. Chapel Hill, that area, far more difficult than New Bern is. New Bern is, of course, more difficult than the middle of Pamlico County, so, of which there are virtually no regulations. But it is not unreasonable in New Bern.
Did they ask for any proffers, like the school site? Was that part of that
property? No, it was not. That was we gave the school a very discounted price on that land. But North Carolina, historically, it's evolving some, has not been a state like many that required a lot of compensatory public donations, mm-hmm. if you want to do that, unlike like Colorado and many other places do. It's becoming more an issue everywhere as the cost of development and the impacts of development are felt more. But no, we did not have to. We did have to contribute some money to DOT for intersection work. I think we paid a couple of $100,000, and we donated some right-of-way beside our sales office, which will be used as this new highway project comes, I'm sure. But there was no actual land we gave other than utility land. We donated the site for the water tower, as an example.
Wow.
Ken, the prices of the houses in there, a government can calculate at what price a house, the value of a house, what the tax result is, and whether it's a net gain or loss to the county. I would think that Carolina Colors would be a net contributor to the coffers rather than a drain on it for services. Is that
that's
a correct
that's
idea?
That's why the city likes this kind of development.
Uh-huh.
You put per capita fewer people in the schools. You have very little crime. You pay a lot of utility bills. New Bern has all the utilities. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of utility bills and benefits that help finance things. Yes, I think if you ask anybody in the city, they would tell you that Carolina Colors or similar developments such as Carolina Colors are a great fiscal benefit to a community.
Did you build any of the houses yourself, or did you do takedown schedule with builders, or how did that work?
It's varied depending on how good or bad the market is, but we do no vertical construction.
Okay.
It's something that it's fraught with risk. We cause and pay for vertical construction of amenities, clubhouse. I mean, we built a $3 million clubhouse and swimming pool and tennis courts and sidewalks and all that, but housing units, we have builders that do it. We are kind of rare now because in most of your bigger communities, the building industry is being taken over by big regional and national builders because they can build less expensively. Here, the sales volume in New Bern has historically not been sufficient to attract the big national builders. Typically, if a national builder can't build about 80 homes and sell about 80 homes a year, they can't justify the overhead of coming in, and no community around here is selling 80 homes a year. So we have worked with local builders. They have been required to do some speculative buying and building, but about 75% of the homes in Carolina Colors have been custom.
Well, Ken, you mentioned that New Bern is friendly towards the community. What about state and federal far as regulations there? EPA, you mentioned Bryce's Creek intersects there. And
well, I consider myself an environmentally sensitive developer, and I hope if you ride through Carolina Colors, you would agree that we have tried to be that. I have been on a number of state study commissions. I was on the 6-person panel that wrote the first set of stormwater regulations in North Carolina. it's an interesting story in itself. Governor Martin was under a lot of pressure to enact stormwater regulations. All the professional environmental groups were really getting concerned about water quality. And, of course, a lot of the land-owning development community was not excited about having stormwater regulations. So Governor Martin picked two developer representatives, of which I was one, and picked two professional environmental folks, and picked two people from his environmental department, and said, you guys work this out, you all agree on it, or I'm going to be sure you get something none of you will like. That was basically the process. And so the six of us got together with a series of meetings. As you can imagine, we didn't agree on some things. We knew the environmental groups knew it couldn't be egregious. We knew there were going to be regulations, and we worked through a process that none of us were terribly happy with, but we all could live with at that point.
Well, we got to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We come back, and we'll continue this conversation.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Hal, you had a question for Ken.
I did, and oddly enough, we talked about it a little bit offline in between. My question is, I know that you've had environmental experience and things like that, but I was wondering who you had to go through. The state? When you do the impact or statement of no impact or something like it, I've forgotten the title, do you submit that to the county or does it go to the state? And then do you see that sort of a complicating factor beginning to increase in our community?
It's actually decreased in the last 5 to 10 years on a federal and particularly on the federal level, with a lot of changes in the, particularly the wetlands regulations, mm-hmm. have gotten much less stringent than when I was permitting things for everybody. For the most part, we had to do a wetlands delineation when we start the project. Identify them, survey them, etc. That's a federal process through the Corps of Engineers. After that, we have almost no federal involvement in doing the rest of the development. We need permits if we're going to impact wetlands. Uh-huh. But that we were able to accomplish fairly easily under the regulations because we avoided impacts on most of them.
Yeah. What about other factors like zoning and things
well,
like that?
Well, you have state and city government New Bern regulations you have to go through. There are several processes in both that you have to do. We do a group of neighborhoods. We do a neighborhood at a time, and we have to go through the subdivision approval process. We typically don't have to rezone, although we just did to build a dog park, believe it or not. We typically don't because we have zoning for the entire community that accomplishes what we're doing. But it takes about 4 months to 5 months in the city process, and we also have a series of state permits. You got to have to have a sedimentation erosion permit. You have to have a stormwater permit. You may have to have a wetlands permit from the state, and there's several other that can come into play depending on what you're doing. So there is a lot of processes that you have to go through, but in many communities it's a 2-year process minimum to get approvals. Here, typically, once your engineering plans are finished and you can apply for all the permits, typically 6 months, 4 to 6 months, you can get the approvals that you need. Wow. Assuming you do a good job.
Do they ever expire and have to be revisited, or how long do those permits last?
Well, wetlands permits last for 5 years, okay. And then you have to redo it, but that's usually not a very difficult process. The other permits, as long as you're in a neighborhood actively working it, they're good for the life of that neighborhood. Then you'll get new permits for a new neighborhood and start all over again.
Do you have any way of guesstimating percentage-wise all the regulatory stuff and the permitting process you have to go through? How much does that add to the cost of the home?
There are a lot of variables to that, but it probably averages $5,000 to $6,000 a home here, but what is really where your costs really come in? We just priced a new neighborhood that we're doing, and we don't do real small lots like a lot of communities do. We have some relatively small lots, but even our small lots are not small lots in most new developments. Our typical lot is 90 or 100 feet. It's a half acre. We just priced a new 40-lot subdivision in terms of just on-site costs. I mean, I'm just talking about construction costs now. It has gone to almost $40,000 a lot.
Wow.
That's just water, sewer, soil work, sidewalks, and all that. That's twice what it was about when we started here. Now, that's not primarily because of regulation, it's primarily because of cost inflation. But now the city of New Bern, which is well-intended, I've got no criticism, they are in the process of looking at a series of street requirements that include greatly much larger cul-de-sacs, an acre, it seems like almost, wider streets, wider sidewalks, a lot of things that and I think they will come into being, will add another, I think, $2,000 to $3,000 per lot into the cost of the home. You heard Bob and Mary say they had bought a house here 5 years ago. That house was put on a lot that was sold for $40,000, round numbers. Then the next lots we put on, I don't think you'll be able to put less than a $75,000 lot on the market. And the cost for building now, the cost for building a house is going up about 1% a month. The cost of infrastructure, this is over the last 18 months, the cost of infrastructure is going up much quicker than that. So the regulatory component is far less in New Bern than it is if you go into some metropolitan areas that are difficult. Infrastructure costs can run $40,000 a lot in a house. In fact, New Bern just reduced their impact fees by 30%, which is saving about probably $1,500 a house.
Ken, if those things are driving up the costs of lots that dramatically, doesn't that necessarily drive up the cost of the houses built on
no
them
question.
Because the banks won't want the ratio to be a certain
well,
amount?
Well, the unintended, and most of the city, the changes the city is going through now are to a large extent based on the recommendation of the fire department. The fire department is basing that on a new proposed change in the state fire code. It was adopted as an optional code. Each city and county can adopt it or not adopt it. New Bern adopted it about 3 years ago with none of us knowing they were doing it and with none of the commissioners understanding its impact. The fire department
voluntarily adopted.
Yeah,
yes.
It was voluntary with no discussion, and because the fire department said we need it to save lives, when we figured a group of us that work with the city, they were very good to listen to us. When we looked at the cost impacts of it, we spent about a year getting it tweaked and making improvements on it. But the real challenge has been most of the problem the fire department has relates to old narrow streets that they have parking on both sides of.
Well, and that doesn't apply to your
and it's no, it's yeah. It's a huge problem because they can't get fire trucks down to them. But there's no other place for people to park in these old, you go to some of the park areas down there.
Yeah, sure.
So they're not going to say you can't park on the streets. So what they're trying to do is take the fire code and make it so that can't happen again, yet where the problems really are going to remain the problems.
Right.
So it's, and I understand it from all sides, but what's going to end up happening, we can absorb costs better than your lower income housing.
Sure. Yes.
It is going to get harder and harder to build affordable housing for starter houses, young people. It's going to get really, really tough if you look at the economics of it.
So that's one of the unintended consequences.
Yes. Yes, and it's all based on the very good ideas. We need fire protection. We got to protect people. It's not some we want to stop development philosophy, which that is not the philosophy of New Bern at all.
All right.
I think an interesting, we're going down rabbit holes again. an interesting sidelight is, again, the wind and hail damage insurance costs for us. We build better on the coast for wind damage, yet we pay higher prices than inland pays as far as the insurance. And so we've got we're doing better quality building. But
yeah,
we're
I think
the
foundation
insurance.
Specs and so on here are more intense
The code for building on the building code for building on the coast is designed for more high-level winds, et cetera. But if you, from the insurance industry standpoint, if you look at claims made, they're more near the coast because that's where the biggest storms hit. So, you know, how do you allocate it? What's fair? That debate's been going on for as long as I've been practicing law and developing here. And you can, depends on who's paying your bill, you can argue from that side of the fence or not.
Let me throw you a curve and ask you another question that might be open for debate. The a lot of municipalities, Craven County has economic development things where they give incentives for various companies to come to town. Hypothetically, now I know you say we're not capable of building enough units in a year to attract them, but let's say an economic development authority locally was able to coax somebody like a Horton or a Pulte or a NVR to come to New Bern with all these good perks, and your tax money went to help fund that. How would you feel about it?
You really need to talk to my brother.
Explain that, please.
My brother is the economic development director in Carteret County, but he was the main, he was the regional for the central part of North Carolina, in charge of that for some years. He went to Hilton Head and was in charge of economic development there, and has been in Florida doing it. And he has very, very articulate, strong opinions on incentives. And what it comes down to is they're bad, but you have to do them because everybody else is.
Oh, gosh.
Seriously, that's an oversimplification.
Yes.
But he would advocate for a federal law that would say states and local governments can't give economic incentives. He thinks that would work better and be fairer, but he also thinks that North Carolina would be hurt badly by not doing it because they would lose a tremendous amount of needed economic growth. So it's a mixed bag.
I see, and I'd like your opinion on this, is that they are much faster and looser with money offering companies incentives to come in than they would be if it were their own money. They will invest in a project because it isn't their money. Well, take the Dolly Parton thing up the road in Roanoke Rapids. Lots of money was thrown at that project. It was only taxpayer money, and it didn't produce a good result. So it's when you're investing your own money, you tend to look very carefully at whether it makes economic sense or not.
You're looking at a man who invested a lot of money in investing in Carolina Colors before the recession. So I might not be the right one to ask that question. But I mean, it's like anything else. You can see some great successes and some spectacular failures from the use of public money in attracting business and industry. If it's done the way it's supposed to be on a state level, where there are benchmarks that have to be met, where the money stops or has to be, in theory, repaid if it doesn't happen, then that's the way it should go. Mm-hmm. I think most times when incentives are given, that at least some of the people involved in the decision making do have the quote greater good in mind. Not, you know, they're not making any money off of it, but they can. It's too easy to get sucked into a competitive environment where you throw money at something that you haven't done due diligence on sufficiently to know it's a smart thing to do. And if you do it, you got to benchmark it and track it very carefully. And the failure has been they don't track them very well.
Uh-huh. You mentioned downturn. Do you find that things are picking up now?
I think you'll be hitting a slowdown within 18 months.
Why is that?
I don't know that we want to go into that in this group.
Gosh, I've gone, like Rick already told you, I go to most of the Board of Commissioners meetings. And
county or state?
Board of Commissioners.
County.
Yeah, the county, Craven County. I've been to some others, but mostly the Board of Commissioners meetings. One thing that troubles me a lot about the decisions they make is I will ask them for a results. In other words, would you do a benefit and cost study and then revisit it after the thing is finished and check the results, make sure the number of employees were employed, that were promised to be employed, and that they met all the commitments that they made. And they will never do that. They never go there.
And that's what I was saying. I'm agreeing with you. You've got to benchmark it and then you got to check it.
Yes, sir.
And there's got to be consequences if you don't meet it.
Absolutely.
To lighten up a little bit, who came up with the notion of spelling colors with the British spelling, and why?
Well, a marketing person that we had working for us at that time liked it. Kip Paragoy, who works with me, liked it. They thought it just made it stand out a bit from the normal. The concept, if you look at our logo, with the colors in it, it's supposed to give you the feeling of the varying environment you have here. Sunrise, water, sunset.
Earth. I told you
yes.
So.
Yes.
That's the concept behind it. Yeah. But it's a marketing thing. And, I didn't either particularly like it or dislike it.
How did you
I
come
it was
up with
spell check? I thought it was something with the spell check. Spell check always defaults to an English version.
The idea of
Sorry, Rainer. We've got to take a break. We're going to take a break here to hear from our sponsors. We'll come back and continue this conversation.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, if you're just joining us, we have a special guest today. It's Mr. Ken Kirkman, developer of Carolina Colors here in right outside of New Bern. And he's been talking a lot to us about what it took to develop the community and some of the processes you have to go through, permitting processes, regulations, things like that. Hal, I thought you had a question.
No, I wanted to say that Rainer had a lot of experience in real estate development up in Stafford County, Virginia, where we moved from down from Fredericksburg area. And she's asking some darn good questions.
She has.
And because of that experience, I just wanted to point that out, and I think she's got another one.
I've got one more that I'm just real curious about, and that is how you came up with the design idea, the windy streets, the water features, the individual neighborhoods. What market were you going for, and what was the basic concept?
Well, it wasn't really the market was not the driving force.
Okay.
The market we knew would be primarily in New Bern retirement. That mm-hmm. would be based on retirement, and in all the communities I've worked in that do this, the market primarily is following I-95 up. But so we knew basically that going in. We hired a guy named Bill Love as our master land planner. He is a rare combination of a golf course architect and a land planner. Very, very good one in my view. And we spent a lot of time with him. He started with Weyerhaeuser doing some work on this site. Then we inherited that and refined it. But it, for the most part, was dictated by the landforms. It was dictated by where the creek is, where the wetlands are, and what the topography was. Mm-hmm. And to take advantage of that, you couldn't just put a bunch of rectangles out here like urban planners like. But it's not necessarily what your purchaser likes.
Right.
I think the cul-de-sacs that we have, the varieties of environments where the houses are, the trees are what a lot of people want.
Loopholes.
And what we did on both ends of our project, it was much flatter, and it had been more treed by Weyerhaeuser. So that's where we put, we're used to it, Bayberry. That's where we put the smaller lots. That was flatter. And to put small lots, you basically got to clear cut them if you're going to drain them. If it's flat property and you're going to put lots on them, you can't drain them without crowning in swales. So you got to do it. Well, we didn't want to do that with the core of the property, which had a lot of terrain, had pretty trees. So that means you've got to have bigger lots. And because of the wetlands and the creek, you can't just crisscross everything. We're going to cross the creek once, and it's going to be $1.5 million bridge to get across it. We got some gorgeous property back on the backside across, including some really pretty golf course frontage and some nice wetland frontage. But it's a real expensive opportunity, so it'll be a few years yet before we got to figure out how to make a profit first. Then we'll move over there. But that was it. It was more of a land form and how the golf course fit in and how that related to the land and the buildable land.
And by the way, the golf course and the community are totally separate entities.
Well, I don't think they're separate entities.
I mean, they're very, very well integrated.
Yeah, but the homeowners, the golf is... All our amenities other than golf are part of the Homeowners Association. The clubhouse, all the many activities, the swimming, everything else. Golf is optional. You can join the golf club. You can just walk on and play. You can ignore it. You can do whatever you want. But it's funny, some of the surveys we did of our first 150 owners here, while only about 30% of owners now play golf, about 70% said having the golf course here was a material factor in them purchasing.
Interesting.
So, because of the perceived open spaces, et cetera.
Right. That pavilion's a beautiful building, too. I've attended many events there, and that's great.
You mentioned following I-95. Well, curiously, you've got 70 out here is now being developed into an interstate. How is that going to impact you?
In the short term, it'll impact me with something I shouldn't say on air. It's going to be a mess. In the long term, it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be about this time next year is when they're going to really be starting construction. I just had a meeting with our local DOT people in the last week or so. They expect now to let the contracts in May next year and start at about this time next year. It is going to be a mess. For about 3 years. And they're now inclined to start on our end and move towards the bridge. That's not a final decision yet, but that's probably going to happen. That's not necessarily bad because we'll get done a lot quicker, down where we are, which will be a good thing. It'll get our interchange probably will go before some of the others will. But one of the key things people want here is to get to the beach. And what most people don't know now, that not only are they going to do this segment, they're going to proceed and do it all the way to Havelock.
All right.
And that's going to happen pretty quickly. And that's a far easier job than James City because of all the properties. And they're doing the Havelock bypass.
That's right.
So what it means is, from a marketing standpoint, from an owner standpoint, you'll be able to go to the beach without hitting a stoplight till you get down into Carter County. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
We often say that the people come in and say, a lot of people, we want to be near the beach but not at the beach for storms. Well, the people that say that, 75% of them maybe go to the beach once a year. 25% of them go down fairly often. And the others go when their grandkids are here. That's they take the kids down. So it's the perception that we're going to be going to the beach a lot is more important than the reality. But there are a lot of people in Carolina Colors that love to go to Beaufort for dinner.
Yeah. Yes.
And that kind of thing. And it's going to make a much easier drive to do that. So I actually think it'll be a good thing.
And you say that's going to take about 3 years.
That's what they tell me. Yes. They're going to authorize 24-hour a day work, nighttime work. They're going to have, they tell me, big penalties for not finishing on time and big incentives for finishing
performance
early.
Bonds.
That's great. You said it was going to be a mess, and I tend to agree with you because, of course, we've got Marine Corps Air Station, Cherry Point.
And there's three big projects that are going to go on the base while this is going on.
And you have all those people. I don't know how many thousands. It used to be about 4,000 employees there. That's not counting the military. And they are commuting, most of them, back and forth between New Bern and surrounding areas.
And Carter County, too. And a lot of them live in Carter County.
So, yeah, that is going
to be. But it's going to be a big mess, we just got to figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah, you got to deal with it. Mary?
I just wanted to point out, when we lived in Massachusetts, we lived in a very small town. And when Route 495, which was the outer route around Boston, which they were working on when we moved, went by our town and went down to Cape Cod, because in Massachusetts everybody goes to Cape Cod, the town went from about 5,500 people to about 8,800 people. And the property values went up considerably. And they controlled the growth. I mean, it didn't get out of hand. They did it very well. But it had a very positive impact on the town. And I'm hoping that we will see the same thing here.
I think it'll be good. I think, though, I don't know I'll live long enough to see it finished, but I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I delivered the county compasses on Thursdays in this whole area. I'm really concerned about how serviceable these service roads are going to remain. Am I going to have to be running back and forth on the service roads to get to an interchange to go down to Havelock, or how is that going to work?
Sure. I mean, there's going to be a series of overpasses that the highway will be on, and you will have to go under that, depending on which direction you're coming from, you will have to go to an interstate quality ramp to get there. But they're going to be ramps in essentially the same places the major intersections are now.
Right.
I'll tell you, and I know Bob and Mary can tell you, my front desk person sits at her desk and watches the wrecks every day.
Yes, you are.
At that light, it is a disaster.
Yes, it is. Don't have to tell us that. We know that.
You know. So from a safety standpoint, it's going to be a lot better.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It is. Is there somewhere, do you know, that you can go and see the plan for?
Go online and see it, but it's just hard to read.
Okay. Is that like at NCDOT?
Yeah.
Okay, DOT website. Okay, well, we're going to take another break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and wrap this show up.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we're with Mr. Ken Kirkman, developer of Carolina Colors. And Ken, we appreciate you coming in, spending time with us.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're here, absolutely.
You've shined some light on a lot of interesting questions. Thank you, Rainer, for excellent questions.
Oh, it brought back a former life. I've enjoyed it, too.
Ken, just out of curiosity, do you have any future plans for development?
You mean outside of Carolina Colors?
Yeah.
No. I have run and been involved with several very large developments, starting with Pine Knoll Shores and Carteret County and Baldhead Island and Landfall in Wilmington. I'm an old man now. I doubt I'll live through the end of this one, so I don't plan to start another one.
Well, I was just curious. I'm a native of New Bern. Been here 66 years now, and my son has a landscaping business, and when I retired, I started helping him out some. And there's places out here I never knew existed. Whole communities. I went to a new one today. I was just wondering if there were any big plans for any other.
It is going to be very, very difficult for there to be another large-scale amenitized development in New Bern. Mm-hmm. Both because the market really is not conducive to the volume of sales you really need to do to make it profitable, and because of sewer problems in the surrounding areas. From here to Havelock, there's a lot of, between the railroad and there are a lot of challenges with sewer that are very expensive to deal with, and then you add what's happening with land costs and infrastructure costs. And it's such a long-term thing that a recession is going to get you every time if you're going to be out here 10, 15 years. So you've got to bring in the big national builders if you're going to build at a volume to make it a time appropriate. And the volume of the buyers in here, we compete with Brunswick County primarily. They've got some really nice communities in Brunswick County. Those private communities combined spend between $12 and $15 million a year in recruiting buyers. There is essentially nobody but us in Craven County marketing outside of this local area, and we spend $200,000. So, I have wanted other projects to come because the combined marketing of that helps everybody.
Synergistic.
But I don't think you'll see another major amenitized community. I'm not talking about subdivisions, but major amenitized communities here anytime soon. The economics won't support it.
How about off of Route 43 up there? It used to be, 35 or something like that.
Talking about the Weyerhaeuser project?
The Weyerhaeuser project, and the Weyerhaeuser's changed the way it does things now. I don't know. But well, there was some housing planned in that original
there
plan.
There still is. There's housing in their plans now. It's changed. They have tried for 10 years to get it going and have not succeeded. That is somewhat indicative of what I'm telling you. Okay. The economics just aren't there.
You're talking about Craven 30.
Yeah,
Craven
30. They're trying to do it. Yeah. I've worked with them. I know them. I want them to get it going, but they just haven't been able to get it going. It's in the wrong place for the access to the beach and retirement and all that.
All right.
It's if you go the other way from there, there's not anything there.
All right.
Here, we're growing a lot. The Harris Teeter that we built is doing great, better than they expected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The highway work, interestingly enough, has promoted a whole lot of calls expressing interest in our commercial center now because a lot of people are going to have to move.
Right.
And so there's more activity and discussions going on there now than there have been. It's a tough haul.
It is. One last question because we're just about out of time here. There's been signs up on Highway 70 between here and Havelock about, I think it's like 70-some acre retail space that was going in. Do you know anything about that? Is that?
I wouldn't hold your breath.
Okay. I think you answered the question.
Retail people are getting pickier and pickier about where they go because of online competition and other things. It's hard to get, believe me, would you go there or would you go in our center if you had a retail store?
Right.
And we are having, and David Swain, our commercial developer, who is very good, is having a heck of a time getting retail here. You'll end up with restaurants and service establishments. You may see some local shops. The nationals will not touch it.
Hmm. Well, Ken, once again, thank you very much for your time. Very informative conversation. Folks, hope you enjoyed today's show. We are doing something a little bit different today, and I hope you really enjoyed it. Let's take time to remind you of CCTA's website. That's cctaxpayers.com. You can go there and find out what CCTA is all about. Again, we're a constitutional conservative group. We look out for your welfare as far as taxes and government regulations, Hal.
And this show will be archived there.
Right. All of our shows are archived on cctaxpayers.com. Just go there and click on the Wake Up Call button. Also, when you get to the homepage, top left-hand corner, there's a one that says Donate. It's underutilized, so help us out with that. We appreciate y'all listening and spending your time every Sunday here with us, and we hope you'll come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Responsible Security LLC, and Oriental Dragon Boat Races. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.